Mark chapter 8. We'll begin verse number 1 of Mark chapter number 8. It says this: In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they now have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, Jesus, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? Title of this message today is, They Still Don't Get It. They still don't get it. The disciples struggle with spiritual blindness. They're struggling with spiritual blindness. You may be seated, and we'll get into our message this morning. Blindness is an unfortunate condition that affects a lot of Americans. It affects thousands of Americans. I looked up the National Federation on Blindness, says that over 700,000 Americans, 700,000 Americans deal with blindness or trouble with seeing. 700,000, that's a lot more than I was expecting. Now today, there's been a lot of advancements and a lot of technology that helps those who are blind or visually impaired still function and live a very productive life. I know several people, honestly, that are blind. I can think of 3 right now that I know that are either completely blind or are very, very visually impaired. And they function very well because there's a lot of things that have happened that have taken place that allow them to do that. But that's not always been the case. If you go back 150 years, being blind was a severe disadvantage. Severe. They didn't have the technology. They didn't have the things that we have today. I mean, if you were to imagine that your life was completely surrounded by darkness, that you didn't have the ability to see obstacles in your way. You didn't have the ability to even to even see what type of bill you were holding in your hand when it came to a $5, $10, all this stuff. I mean, all the things that we take for granted. You would never see the beauty of a sunrise or look up at a starry night in the evening. You wouldn't have those things. Listen, it would be difficult. It's difficult, but it's also costly. Also read that the CDC said that every year, blindness in the U.S., it costs the U.S. $53 billion because of blindness. You say, well, what from? Well, one, a large amount of funds and money are allocated to help people with blindness or to help people with treatment or with assistance, but also just the fact of loss of productivity because of that. And it says $53 million. Now listen, we can understand that it could be difficult if you're struggling with a physical blindness, that it's hard, that it's challenging. But you know, spiritual blindness costs much more than $53.5 billion. Spiritual blindness, it's a problem. There's a danger with spiritual blindness. You know, in the Bible, blindness and deafness are often associated with people who are unable or unwilling to hear the truths of God. That for whatever reason, they're stopping their ears and not listening to what God is saying, or they're blinded to the truth that's right in front of them. In this passage of Scripture, we'll see the disciples are struggling with that. Look here in verse number one through three, we see this, that Jesus is showing compassion to the multitude. He's showing compassion to a group of people who are in need of physical food. We've studied already Jesus fed 5,000. Well, now here's another account where there's 4,000 people that are following Jesus and that have been following him for days without food. And this sets the stage for a teaching lesson for Jesus, because Jesus has already provided food for 5,000 people, and now there's this group of 4,000 people that are in need of food, and they don't have it. And Jesus says, well, let's feed them. And the disciples, with their lack of faith, once again saying, Jesus, how can a person provide food for this many people here in the wilderness? We can't do that. How is that going to happen? And Jesus says, well, what do you have? Tell me. We're not just going to send them away, because if we send them away, then they're going to faint by the way because they've been 3 days without food. I think I'm dying if I go a few hours without food. But here, for 3 days, they've been without food. Jesus says, we're not going to send them away. Give them something. They say, we don't have anything. He says, well, how many loaves do you have? Look at what he says in verse number 5. They said, we have 7. We got 7 loaves of bread, and there's a couple fish that are here as well. What do we see? We see that Jesus, once again, in verse number 6 and 7, he provides for this immediate need that they have. Listen, here's a lesson from Jesus, that Jesus was compassionate, that Jesus cared about the physical needs of the people around him. We see that through his providing food for them. We see that through his healing, through his ministering, through his casting out demons. He cared for the physical needs of people. He was moved at their difficult spot, their difficult situations. He had compassion on them. So what does he do in verse number 6 and 7 and 8? He commands them, sit down, sit on the ground, and we'll divide this food among them. And they divided the food, and they all ate. How many baskets did they have left? What does it say? Baskets. 7. That's 7 baskets left over after this miracle and after this food. Jesus supplied the need and then extra. There was plenty left over. There was plenty left over. Look at what it says here in verse number 10. Verse number 10 through 16, there's a warning given. So Jesus sends the people away, and verse number 10, enters into a ship and goes to another part of the lake, the Dalmanutha area, which is not too far from there, but it's a little ways away. So Jesus goes over there, and as soon as he gets there, the Pharisees, look at what they're doing. They came to him in verse number 11, and they're saying, give us a sign, show us something. As if what Jesus had already done was not enough, they're saying, we need something from you. We want a sign from you to see that you are really the Messiah, which just goes to prove and to show again that man's heart is intentionally skeptical or lacks faith. Because when Jesus has already done everything that he should do, everything that he needed to do to prove who he was, they're still skeptical. They're still saying, give us another sign. Show us something. We need to see something. Well, what are they doing? They're tempting him, it says. They're trying to get him to do something just to do a show. And Jesus said, I'm not doing that. In verse number 20, he sighed deeply. Or verse number 12, says he sighed deeply. And look at what he says. Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given to this generation. He says, what is it about this people that demand a sign? I believe Jesus sighed, not out of frustration, because Jesus knows the heart of men. Jesus knows what's going on in man's heart. He didn't sigh out of frustration. I believe he sighed out of disappointment. Not even disappointment in them, but disappointment for them. It's a difference. He wasn't disappointed in them because he knew man. He knew their heart. But he was disappointed for them because he knew what they were missing by their unbelief. He knew what they were missing out on by their refusal to trust Jesus, their refusal to believe who Jesus was. And he sighed. He says, why? Why does this people seek after a sign? Why do they demand that? Why do they want that? Do they not understand that they're missing so much by living by sight? He wants them to live by faith, but they're demanding a sign. He says, I'm not doing that. In verse number 13, he left them and entered into the ship again to depart. So get this. They've left the ministry. They've got this crowd. Jesus feeds the crowd. They leave. They go into a boat. They're questioned by the Pharisees. They get into the boat again and leave again to go to another place. But look at what it says in verse number 14. It makes a comment, interjects a statement in here to kind of set context with everything. Because all this is verse number 1 all the way down, honestly, through verse number 26. It's all connected. Even the miracle of the blind man that's going to happen after this, it's all connected. And Jesus mentions in here, he said, forgot to take food. Mark records that. He says they forgot to take something. They didn't take any bread with them on this journey. Says they didn't even have as much as a loaf of bread in the boat with them. Why is that important? Well, it adds to and it plays into the disciples missing what Jesus is talking about. So he charged them in verse number 15. He tells the disciples, he says, you need to beware. You need to take heed. You need to be careful of the leaven, the thing that makes the bread rise. He says, you need to beware of the leaven. Of who? The Pharisees and of Herod. Verse number 15. Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Jesus is saying, pay attention and be careful about the evil influences that are around you. These two groups of people, the Pharisees and Herod. Well, why was that important? Well, what thing that they've been going on so far in the Gospel of Mark? There was a direct opposition between those who would live of the flesh and those who would live of just empty religion. The Pharisees are with just ritual and religion that has meaning. Jesus aware of that influence in your life, those who would just elevate empty ritualism without a real faith behind it, without a real understanding. He says, beware of that, be careful of that. But he also says, be careful of those of Herod. Well, what was Herod synonymous with? Herod was synonymous with just pleasure and debauchery, things that were evil, fleshliness. He says, disciples, beware of those things. Beware of the influence of the overtly or the stringently religious without any relationship or without any heart behind it. But he says, also beware of those who would try to tempt you to wickedness or to immorality. He says, beware of those. Be careful, disciples. Why? Because those are real enemies that are around them. Those are real temptations that are around them. That's what Jesus was trying to teach them. But look at what happens in verse number 16. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And the disciples are like, what's he talking about? Jesus and asking him, what do the Pharisees, disciples do? The disciples are reading themselves. Well, I don't know. This conclusion. Jesus is telling us not to go to the Pharisees and the scribe and the Herod for bread because we forgot bread. We forgot to take food. Well, what are they thinking? They're thinking Jesus is physical. They're thinking that Jesus is saying, don't go to the Pharisees and Herod to get food. They're still stuck on this idea that the things that you eat are going to defile you. The things that you take into your mouth are going to harm you. They're still stuck on this. They're still stuck on the fact that we take bread. We're hungry. We need food, but we forgot to take bread. And Jesus says in verse number 17, he knew what they were saying. He knew what they were arguing. And in verse number 17, he says, why are you reasoning among yourselves? Why are you arguing with yourselves that you have no bread? He says, don't you get it? Don't you understand? You're thinking about physical bread. You're missing it. He's like, have you already been with me this long? He's like, do you have ears and you're not hearing? Don't you have eyes, but you're not seeing? He said, you're not seeing that I've been teaching. You're not seeing that I'm trying to elevate your physical and up to the spiritual. He says, you're not getting it. You're missing the point. And he goes back and reminds them, listen, I'm not talking about physical food. If I were talking about physical food, I can provide that. I can deal with that. He says, remember when we fed the 5,000? Take up, he asks them, and they're like, 12. Okay, what about just now? The 4,000 that we fed. How many loaves did we take up? And they said, 7. What is he telling them? He's saying, listen, I can provide the physical. It's not a big deal. I can take care of the physical. He says, here's what's important. He's saying, somebody else, myself, I can physically provide this physical, but you got to pay attention to the spiritual, because that's something that's your responsibility to deal with and your responsibility to handle. And he says, you're not getting it. You're not taking heed to that. He says in verse 21, how is it that you do not understand? He said, why are you not getting this? You're not making the connection. They still don't get that Jesus is trying to remove mind in their thinking. Listen, the physical is the most important. The physical world is so valuable, and the physical world is what governs everything that we do. And Jesus is trying to get them to lift their eyes and to pay attention to the spiritual. And everything that he has done, he had healed this deaf man just earlier that could not hear and restored his hearing. And if you look in verse number 20, the situation, we're not going to read it all just for sake of time. But in verse number 22, there's another person that comes to play. It's a blind man. And this blind man comes to him. And what does Jesus do? Spits, touches his eyes. And guess what? The guy can see a little bit. He can see a little clearer. But then Jesus does it again. And now the man can see clearly. He can see without problem. I believe that verse number 22 and following is a real world example of what he's trying to teach the disciples and trying to got some of it, but you don't get it all. You can see a little bit, but yet you're still spiritually blind to what I'm trying to teach you and what I'm trying to teach you to see. Well, why were they? Well, guess what? The spiritual blindness of the disciples and the reason is often one of the same reasons why we struggle with spiritual blindness today. Why is it? What is it? They couldn't get their eyes off the physical. They couldn't get their eyes off the things of this world. The problems, the physical problems of this world had taken front and center stage in their life. And because of that, they were not able to see the spiritual things that Jesus was trying to teach them. Okay, look, what are we talking about? Well, remember, Jesus wants them to get the fact that there are real spiritual enemies that are going to try to defeat them. And he uses it with a parable. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. But they're thinking, well, the biggest thing that we see right now is our need for food. The biggest thing that Jesus just did was provide food. And they're not catching. Listen, Jesus can deal with that. Jesus can take care of that. But what is he telling them? You need to be careful about the spiritual dangers that are out there. Listen, I can provide the earth things. I can provide the food. But you got to beware. You got to be careful about those spiritual dangers, those things that are going to affect you spiritually. The disciples, Jesus is asking them, wow, in verse number 21, why do you still not get it? Why are you still struggling with this? Why? Because they were focused on the physical problems around them that they couldn't hear or they couldn't see the real spiritual truths that Jesus was trying to teach them. Why? Because they got so focused on the physical and they were blind and deaf to what Jesus was trying to teach them in the spiritual world. Listen, there are struggles and issues in our world today that are real. But listen, Our greatest problem in this world is not the fact that there are physical issues and problems in life. The greatest problem in this world today is spiritual in nature. And that we oftentimes get so distracted with the spiritual battle that is out there that we forget that Jesus came to address the spiritual battle, because all we're looking at is the physical. All we're looking is the temporal problems that we have. Well, I don't have money, or I'm having this health problem, or I have this problem at home. Well, listen, go back to the spiritual. Jesus cares about the physical. He does. You say, well, what do you mean he cares about the physical? Well, he just fed people the physical food. He cares about the physical. Thinking about the physical precursor or a setup to get to the spiritual. It's trying to get him to need or attention to the spiritual. So what does that mean? Listen, as a church, yeah, we need to care about physical, but more importantly, we need to care about the spiritual. Yeah, Jesus fed people. Yeah, we can feed people physical food, but we need to make sure that people care and are aware of their spiritual need in Christ. In my personal life and in your personal life. Listen, we can make every provision to care for our physical flesh. We buy groceries, we buy food, we make sure we have electricity, we make sure we have water, we make sure we have everything that our physical body needs, but yet we give little attention to the spiritual things. I can make sure I get up and go to work. I can make sure that I get up and spend time dealing with my own physical needs in life, but am I giving proper attention to the spiritual? Because listen, the physical is, it's easy for the things in the physical world to overshadow and to push out the real things in the spiritual world. Am I giving proper attention to my time with the Lord? Am I giving proper attention to the spiritual needs of my life? You know, in our families, families have everything that we need physically. Everything that a person should have, that a family should have to survive and to live in a physical world. But yet, do we realize that there's a spiritual world that's also demands our attention? We often think that it's the physical the most. Well, listen, do you realize that the physical is honestly and is actually the temporary? The physical world, this world that we're living in now, this is only a momentary life. That really what is eternal is the spiritual world. But yet we spend so much time focused and giving our attention to the physical that we totally neglect the spiritual. And we don't have time for it. We don't have the energy for it. Listen, what Jesus is saying here in this passage to his disciples and that Mark recorded and that he gave to us is this: don't be so focused on the physical problems around me that I forget the real spiritual battle that's going on, the real spiritual enemies. Listen, there are things out there spiritually that will turn my heart away from God. And listen, I need to give attention to that. I don't need to ignore that. There are things that can restore me spiritually that I need to give attention to. And I don't need to ignore those things. Why? Because those are the real enemies. And don't have Jesus like he is at the group of people there. The Pharisees are coming to him and saying, we want a sign. We want to see something physical. And after that, Jesus is saying, hey, beware of that. Pay attention. Be careful, because that's dangerous. So they're just seeking after a sign. Don't let them deceive you. Pay attention. But yet they didn't get it. Why? Because they were so focused on their own personal need, they forgot. Even Jesus is able to take care of that. I don't need to worry about that. He's got that. Jesus is saying, pay attention to your spiritual life. Pay attention to those enemies that would try to defeat you, would try to pull you away. Physical problems are real. Physical problems are an issue in life. But they're not the main issue. The real enemy are those spiritual enemies. Jesus even says, don't fear him later on in the Gospels. He says, don't fear him that's able to kill the body but not do anything to the soul. What does he say? Fear them and pay attention to him who's able to destroy the soul and cast into hell. Listen, there's a spiritual world that we need to be concerned about. There's our own spiritual life that we need to be concerned about. Not be so focused on the things of this world and the things of this life, but focus on the spiritual.